This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We are efforting to get Matt Norlander on the show, senior writer from CBS Sports. Wrote a great piece last week on Derek Queen in which the money cut was Kevin Willard saying, quote, if he was European and white, he'd be the first pick in this draft, which is great.
I mean, look, by the time we get, you know, towards opening day, who knows? Like, we've seen projections of Derek Queen, 10th overall to OKC. I think everybody knows Cooper Flagg's going number one. I'm sure they'll hammer Miami tonight like they've been hammering everybody. But, I mean, Derek Queen is a top five pick. I don't think is out of the realm of possibility.
Joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, he's a senior writer for CBS Sports. It's Matt Norlander. Matt, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We were just talking about the what we thought was the money quote from your piece about Derek Queen was Kevin Willard saying if he was European and white, he'd be the first pick in the draft. Just your thoughts on Queen and Willard speaking about Queen.
Yeah, no, guys, appreciate it. Thank you so much. When Willard gave me that, I just, you know, as a reporter, you kind of know when you get a good quote there when it's said. And not even that it would be accurate, but I understand the sentiment he's making. And by that, he's saying, listen, because, you know, he's not in peak physical form and he's not jumping out of the gym and isn't a knockdown three-point shooter, which he's not, that's being held against him where almost everything else he does is, you know, at the level of a top three, top five, top one pick or whatever. He's a really fun player, man. I think Derek Queen is among the five or six most must-watched players in college basketball. And, you know, I cover college for a living, so I understand my slant on this is a little bit biased. You'll never find me saying that college basketball is a game that's played at a higher level that's more athletic than the NBA, nothing like that. But I do think that the sport doesn't get quite enough attention and respect for the fact that, like, they're just, like, the NBA does not have guys who can be 5'9 dynamos, guys built like Derek Queen, you know, in addition to your super ultra-athletic wings. Like, styles make fights, and you just never know on a year-by-year basis where these players are going to emerge from to be guys like, man, I got to watch this guy play just because it looks different when he's on the floor. Derek Queen near the top of that list.
Well, and I think it's also fair to wonder, like, we heard about he's got some range, and he took a few threes early in the year and was maybe, you know, dabbling with the 15 to 18 footers a little more, and then they got Rodney Rice in their starting lineup, and they've got three guys who shoot the lights out of the ball, right? And they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the Big Ten, and Juju Reese has more range now. So Queen hasn't really done that, but, like, I bet when we're talking about Derek Queen 3 years from now in the NBA, like, he's hitting shots from the top of the key.
I can totally see that happening. If you really go and look at the NBA and check out some guys who are like 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet, and it's not, some of them have been able to enter the league shooting well, but you check them like by year 4, year 6, mm-hmm. year 8, and they can grow into it. Brooke Lopez is one of the classic examples of this, was not that whatsoever and suddenly turned into like a really, really good three-point shooter. I don't know if Queen will ever be a guy who was asked to take more than say like, well, who knows which way the NBA is going, but like more than say like four in a game kind of deal. But I do think that it is within his skill set to eventually grow into a guy who can shoot, you know, 32-33% from three-point range at the NBA level. And if with a player of that size, like, you'll take that as your fourth or fifth option on the floor every time. I think that he can and will get there.
So Maryland has a really talented big in Derek Queen and another one in Julian Reese. What have you thought of their ability to play off each other this year, Matt, and how that's developed throughout the season?
I think it's probably one of the three biggest reasons why Maryland is a viable Final Four threat, because you don't have a lot of teams. There is another one in the Big Ten, actually, who I'll get to in just a second here. You don't have a lot of teams that have two bigs that are as productive while both on the floor and playing off each other and really having a real harmony together. The other one is a team that is the only other team that has a guy as a big who can play point guard, and that's Michigan with Danny Wolf. And Danny Wolf and Vlad Goldin, they're both 7 feet. So Michigan is actually technically the only team in the country that starts 2 7-footers and plays them more than a combined, you know, 23, 24 minutes a game. No one else does it but Michigan, so they've got an interesting dynamic to them. Maryland's got a lot of that as well with Reese and Queen. And I got to be honest, like, Reese, for the veteran that he is and how he on a given night can be the guy, but still understanding the players that are around him, like, he's got an alchemy here. Like, Maryland's not super deep. I get that. I don't even know if you necessarily have to be super deep to make noise in the tournament. It can bust you if your first or second guy off the bench really can't be dependable in a matchup situation. Like, that's where it can get you. But this whole Crab Five thing they've got going on and their productivity, I don't know if Maryland's a top 10 team in the country, but I do think Maryland's starting five is one of the 6 or 7 most reliable starting fives in the entire nation. And because of that, it's why I think that they are a threat, as I just said, to make the Final Four. If you told me they won the Big Ten tournament, I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever. But on the flip side, you know, postseason play, conference tournament play, you can sometimes just get caught on the wrong prep or whatever and get knocked out right away. But I would not – if Maryland winds up – let's just say Maryland finishes fourth in the Big Ten. They play whoever they play in that first game of the Big Ten tournament, but they get upset. If I was a Maryland fan, I wouldn't be remotely dissuaded whatsoever. And on some level, I might even be – if it were to even happen, I might even be happy, because then it allows my team to rest all the more because of that limited depth overall and sets you up for the NCAA tournament. So I'm intrigued to watch this team over the next few weeks. They obviously have a huge one tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. I was there in 2020. I'm almost positive it was February 29. I think it was the leap day, and it was all of 2 weeks before the world changed forever as we knew it. But that Maryland, we're 5 years on, guys.
Yeah.
That Maryland team and that Michigan State team, I was just with Tom Izzo last week in East Lansing, and he said, you know, that was the last time he had, like, a team that he thought was, you know, Final Four good, national title good, all that stuff on the level that he's got this year. But that Maryland team was also really, really good. So here we are a half decade later, and those two are two of the four best teams in the conference.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Talking to Matt Norlander, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Matt, you're talking about the conference tournament, the NCAA tournament, and the differences there. The conference tournament, even if they did win their first game, you're playing back-to-back-to-back days. Maybe depth could be a factor there. But in the NCAA tournament, you get the day off in between games, and then if you win the second game, you get at least 4 days off until the next game, so that could help a team that lacks depth.
Without a doubt, I think that's going to be a major factor as well. When I was at, it's funny, a lot of things you're bringing up that I've got recent references to kind of point back to. I was at the St. John's UConn game on Sunday night, and Patino got asked afterward, you know, is this team championship worthy? Because, you know, St. John's has the second best defense in the country right now, and it's ridiculous what Patino has done in year two. But what Patino was saying and how it pertains to your question is, in the tournament, it is way, way, way more about your prep turnaround and your matchups. Like, you get to that point in the season when there's so much urgency and teams are the most locked in they're ever going to be, and your fate can sometimes depend upon matchups. In addition to, you know, shot goes up, does the ball go in, does it not? For Maryland, I think having a little more time to space out will help them. Let's say the Terps wind up, I think they're going to be a 4, personally. Mm-hmm. This is me projecting out how I think they'll perform.
Yeah, sure.
If they were a 4, they'd get a 13. Don't know who it would be. There's actually a couple of teams that are like lurking as a 13 that would be mighty dangerous. But they get that. And then if you beat the 4, then you get the 5 on a 2-day rest. Given the teams that are in that 5-6 conversation right now, generally speaking, like, I would like Willard on that 2-day turnaround to be able to prep well. I'm not just saying this because I know where I'm talking right now. I mean, I genuinely believe it. Like, I have Maryland among the 10 to 12 teams that I think are most likely to win the title. It will have to be a very specific matchup for me not to minimally put the Terps into the Sweet 16 this year, which has just got to be so refreshing for Maryland fans, because it's a really, really good fan base. That's a big arena. It's a good arena. And, you know, they're just, over the past 15 years, they've just been a notch or two below what the expectation level is. And so to finally get it this year and see them living up to it is pretty awesome. It's a lot of fun.
Well, let's take the projections to a shorter term here. And tomorrow night, I would think that Izzo's licking his chops. If you were going to tell him, hey, you're going to have this game, you're going to come back, you're going to beat Michigan, and instead of a letdown, you're going to go to Maryland where they're the favorite and, you know, they're sold out and they're going to be fired up for you, I'm guessing that's exactly how he would want it, to prevent against the letdown spot. You said styles make fights. Sparty wants to slow it down, win with defense. Obviously, we know the Terps are hanging 100 on people. How does this go down?
You know what? Yeah, that's a good point. But the transition offense for Michigan State is really dangerous, like really mm-hmm. dangerous. And Jace Richardson right now, JLC, I know you remember Jason Richardson, and mm-hmm. it is yes. freaky that it's been like 24 years since this dude was in college. What is yeah. happening right now? But I do think that Jace Richardson, who has emerged as the guy for Michigan State, he's just a freshman, but he is super heady. I think this game will be a race to like 80 or 82 or 84. I will take Maryland to win the game because it is on its home floor. Michigan State has done well. It's had a nice little response after weirdly losing at home to an Indiana team that's up and down. Michigan State proceeded to beat Illinois on the road, Purdue at Breslin, and then go and really just turn the vice grip on Michigan in the final 4 minutes in Ann Arbor on Friday night. And over the past 3 games, here's the thing to keep an eye on if you're a Maryland fan. I want to say that Michigan State has held its past 3 Big Ten opponents in the final 3 to 4 minutes of each game. I think it's collectively the teams are shooting about like 20% from the field.
Jeez.
So if it's tight, I know they've really had a way of just outlasting near the end. So if it's tight, keep an eye on that. But I do wonder if this is the kind of game where, because Michigan State has good physicality down low. It does. It doesn't have like epic great bigs or anything right. Like that, but man, they're not afraid to get physical. How will Queen be utilized? And I almost wonder if this is a game where we see Reese step up. And then, Miguel, I think is going to, I would say Jacoby and Queen, you might think that they need to be the two best guys on the floor. Maybe they will, but I almost wonder with how Michigan State schemes, scouts, and plays, if it will be other guys that wind up stepping up and being the MVPs here. But I would take Maryland and Darryl Wynn.
Matt Norlander, this was great, man. Thanks so much for your time.
Awesome stuff. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a nice day. Thanks for having me on.
You too. Thank you.
Check out Matt Norlander, CBSSports.com. Great piece on Derek Queen if you have not read it yet. Coming up next, though, it's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
We're going to get back into the Ravens, and we heard Eric DaCosta during the season-ending press conference hint at the Ravens having more of a quiet offseason. Well, I don't even think it's hinting anymore. If the Ravens have one Derrick Henry-sized move, he signed a two-year $16 million deal last year. Who should that be given out to? What position should they target? We'll get into it next on The Fan.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.